Welcome, and you're listening to Geekologist Radio, a division of the Queued Up Media Group, and meow.
Shut up and sit down.
All right. Hey, it's Chris, and welcome to Geekologist Radio, where we take you through our queue, into our gaming systems, and we ride the hype train from the past into the future. Let's introduce our tonight's crew. And up first, Mr. Fouts.
What's up?
All right. Mr. Nash.
What's going on, everybody?
Cajun Saint.
I'm trying to say a lot more because, like, there's a certain moon tonight, combination of traffic and work situations and everything. Yeah, I have a feeling this is going to be an interesting podcast in more ways than one. And we're about to have one of those more ways here. Next.
Hey, so we have a guest with us. You might say that he's good at telling ghost stories around the fire. What's up, Gabble Ratchet?
Hey, not much. How are you guys doing?
Doing pretty good now.
Good.
Yeah. Now that we're actually recording and past all of our crappy day moods and
three hours
get
later.
Some of that geek out.
That's right.
All right, let's head into our queue and start. Are we doing
our Q&A?
Oh, Q&A. All right.
Q&A.
Oh man, did I approve of these questions?
Yes, you did.
I have a guest just like to get to know him a little bit better, and I mean some of them we already know because everybody doesn't know. Gabble Ratchet here is one of the hosts of Destiny Ghost Stories, probably the biggest. One of the biggest podcasts in the Destiny scene.
Oh, come on now. It's not that big. They've only got like billions of subscribers.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, if you go lore, you go Destiny Ghost Stories. And so I had a question for like lore in general. Like, how did you get into lore in general, Gabble?
In general?
Yeah.
I've always been drawn to games with deep narrative. Huge fan of the Dark Souls games and all the hidden goodness in those. You know, going all the way back, it's so funny the way that Destiny brought so many different kinds of gamers together. I came from the role-playing gamer side. I grew up on Final Fantasy and all that. Didn't even play a shooter until I bought an Xbox and a friend of mine was like, here's this game called Halo, you should probably play it. And I was like, you put two analog sticks in my hands and I do the thing where I'm like looking at the sky spinning around in circles. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm like, when's it my turn to take an action? And so it's been real interesting. But the biggest way I got into lore of Destiny really was just talking to other people who were also into it. People you might be familiar with.
We noticed that in our Slack. So if you don't know, Gabble was a member of Uprising, and we actually had to make an entire channel in our Slack for lore because as soon as a lore question came up in any of the channels, it instantly just became pages of dialogue from the lore heads going at it.
Yeah, a wall of text was always incoming, basically.
Oh, yeah. If they had like a typing, like this person is typing now, then you'd
never
see, at that time, you'd just see like these three people typing.
Several people. It's like it can't even list all the names.
And I was subscribed to that channel, but I can never keep up. And I was in Slack a lot of the time. And all of a sudden, I'd be like, oh, there's something going on in the lore channel. I flip over. It's like 50 messages and all of them are just pages. I'm like, holy, I'm scrolling forever. Like, this is nuts.
Yeah, I lived on Slack. And I mean, I try to get back in. I've been trying to get back into it a little bit more. I've been a little bit vacant with other things going on. But yeah, I know. I used to live on Slack and I'd try to catch up. And I was just like, you catch it. There's no way. I loved reading what I read, but you know, it was very informative. Hashtag Vex for life. I love the Vex stuff.
That's right. That's what's up.
Gabble, how was the entry into Destiny podcasting for you specifically? For like, I mean, Destiny originally was there was a lot of people coming at it all at one time. I know you kind of yours is a niche in the sense that it's the lore, which was a different take, you know, at the time. So what was the acceptance level of people in the community for your podcast?
Man, it basically instantly blew up larger than we ever thought. The people were just ready, apparently. Like, we, I don't know if we just had like perfect timing or if it was just some great networking that went out, but it was like, you do that thing where you get these guys together and you all record and you all sound kind of awkward and you're not sure if anybody's ever going to want to hear it. And you put it up there on the internet, and a few days later, it's like, wait, hundreds of people listen to that? Oh my gosh. And then a few weeks later, it's like, wait a minute, thousands of people listen to that? And I mean, so we put out our first episode in, it was October, I guess that was 2015. And things sort of grew steadily the first few months, and then we got a community focus from Bungie end of December, maybe early January 2016, and then it was basically just all over. It was done. We just didn't have lives ever again after that.
I wasn't part of the uprising group, but like I remember specifically on Twitter seeing Bife mention you guys, and so then yeah. I was like, oh, okay, so who are they? And then, you know, I'd click on, and I think like everybody else, you know, you listen, and then you're like, oh wow, this is good. So, and then I found myself going to your back catalog and like going through like all of the previous episodes and like filtering through mm-hmm. all of those. So what are your inspirations? Like what, when you're considering doing a cast and you're like, okay, what can we talk about next? How do you guys narrow down what it is that you're looking to do?
So, yeah, there are a few different ways you can look at lore in a game like this, right? Especially something that we know is going to continue to be growing for 5, 6, 7 more years from here. So we know we're working with something that's super incomplete. our problem with that is we like talking about stuff that we know. We were never really big into trying to figure out what's all this mean. What's going to be happening in Destiny 4? It's always been like, no, let's talk about the things that we have right in front of us. And that was really sort of one of our biggest challenges was, well, the topics that we're going to talk about are going to be the topics that we feel like we are knowledgeable enough about. Really, what we always wanted was for every episode that we had ever recorded to contain relevant information for someone who picked up the game with Destiny 3. Like, everything that we said is still correct. And that sort of limited our scope of topics. There are things we still haven't talked about, things like the Cabal. We don't have a single episode about the Cabal because they're big space turtles. Like, it's basically if they blow stuff up, okay, that's not really worth a full episode of a podcast, and I just offended a bunch of Destiny fans who think the Cabal are great, but like everything people think they know about the Cabal, they basically are making up, so that's not what we ever covered. It's kind of why, if you look at our episode history, there hasn't been a new episode in a little while, because it's like Destiny's sort of in this weird state right now where it's like we feel like we've talked about just about all the things that you can really know, and everything that's left is trying to guess at what you don't know, and that's just never been what we've been about. So we're sort of, I don't want to use the word hiatus, but between having trouble finding a topic we can really sink our teeth into and a couple of us having some major life-changing events over the last couple months, it's just been hard to find the time to research and build a 10-page show doc and devote, you know,
well, there's a fine 5 line.
Hours to sitting at a microphone.
There's a fine line between speculation and then kind of having facts behind what you're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
So speaking of the next episode, I did this little questionnaire inside your Destiny Ghost Story Slack, and a question that was asked is, when is the next podcast going to be? And that question was asked by Mr. X-Ray himself.
And he knows, wait, where is he? He knows as well as I do.
That's awesome.
I told him that I would ask, and we would get the answer. So when is the next one due?
See,
that's not people who don't know, X-Ray is one of Gavel's co-hosts on the podcast, asking a question through us to Gavel.
See, yeah, you can hate him later for that one.
believe me, I'm going to send him a message right now. But no, he knows as well as I do. We have a couple things sort of in the hopper. We have one good lore topic, and then
is it Dredge and Yor?
No.
Y'all still can't agree on what happened?
Well, see, I know what your next episode is. Your guys' next episode needs to be about what happened to beards and facial hair to the Guardians of Destiny.
Seriously.
Beards and facial hair, like, nice.
I mean, seriously, I mean, it's like, we know that it exists. We have, you know, the Dead Orbit. We have Dead Orbit. He's allowed to grow facial hair.
That's right.
And even some of the other guys, some of the other new characters have stubble. So what happened to our Guardians, you know?
Yeah. Guardian beards are really a highly requested feature, I think.
Especially I want an Exo with a beard. I want an Exo with a beard.
So would it be made out of wires?
Yeah, it's got to be. Well, come on. You know, we got Transformers that have beards.
I want. We're not going Robo Balls. Leave it alone.
Yeah. Damien wants a slider to adjust.
Oh my God.
The Robo Balls.
That would be awesome.
The nether regions of the Guardians and beards. You give him both of those, and
he will never play another game again.
I won't. I'll just be on the slide bar all day long. Oh.
I bet you would too.
On the 1-2s, Damien.
Also, another question from your Ghost Story Slack by DReco1 is, what is the airspeed velocity of an unladen swallow?
Oh, African or European?
Good answer.
Well played. Yeah, so that just gives y'all a lot of free time then, because you're knocking out so many episodes back-to-back for so long. Having a content law, I guess, helps... Helps your personal lives up a little bit.
There you go. Yeah.
And your work life.
Probably 20 hours a week to produce one episode of Ghost Wars when we were doing it weekly. It was nuts. It was great. Y'all super fun. But
tons of research.
Yeah, really, really brutal some days.
So in your free time, have you, segued off to any other games that have taken your attention?
I have been trying really hard. So before Destiny... I wrote game reviews for a little website that I met some people online and we did news and we did reviews and all that stuff. So, I was emailing PR people at publishers and getting review copies of games and playing different games every week. And then Destiny came out and also my second child was born. It was like, I don't have time to do that anymore. But then Destiny came out and I was like, well, I can just devote all that time to this one game. And I basically played nothing but Destiny for 2 years. So now it's like, well, oh, so many games came out in those 2 years. And so I also, I know most of you guys are on the Xbox side where I was as well. I bought a PlayStation 4 not too long ago. So there's been this like,
Oh God.
So here we go.
This mad rush to try and play these exclusives. And all I can say is, between Nioh and Horizon Zero Dawn, Xbox has never had a month like this.
Nope.
No,
it is ridiculous. Nope. Those games have both been so much fun. Horizon's been out for not even 3 whole days yet, and I'm about 25 hours or so into it. I'm like,
that's awesome.
It's basically just addicted to this game. Wow. It is the best Far Cry game ever made, and it has robot dinosaurs.
Awesome.
I think I just jumped ahead in the show topic here, but that's just what I've been playing for the last 3 days.
No, that's fine. Yeah, Brandon just got him a PlayStation just last week.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah, I picked mine up Friday and got hooked up with some game share through Mr. Two Wolves. And I've already passed.
You tried to send me a message during that game like, hey, I'm playing that game. And I was so into that game that at 2:30 after I realized like 2.5 hours later that you messaged me, I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm still playing. I apologize.
Man, you guys are killing me.
That game's awesome.
That's like sending me a DM instead of in Slack. I don't see it on the screen. I somehow just block it out until I'm playing. And then later, like, I'll send you DMs in game and I check. I'm like, yeah, I had a couple of them. But also, I have Slack on the computer right here. If you want to get a hold of me, you know how to get a hold of me. It's on Slack. It's right there.
That's good stuff.
I know it pops up on my screen. I get it. I just don't pay attention to it. All right, gentlemen. Are we ready to get in our queue?
We switch round and round till... at last dawn, there was 57 channels and nothing on. 57 channels and nothing on. 57 channels and nothing.
And first in our queue is Flash. We haven't come back to this show in a bit, but it just finished a 2-episode back-to-back Planet of the Apes style dual episode. And you get to see Tom Cavanaugh as both Earth 2 and Earth 19 Harrison Wells. Simultaneously, and although originally y'all probably heard me get a little negative on the new Wells, I like the new Earth 19 one better. He's just, when they're next to each other, both personalities are out. I like the goofy one better than the hard line one. But yeah. And then this one has some great plot twists. Like Groot was not going to directly attack the city. And then he possesses like Gypsy and a general and charge some nukes up. And then they thwart the attacks, and we think there's going to be a big battle, and it starts off, but then you get Solovar back, who's voiced by Keith David from the Koolapari series and other stuff. It was great. You just recognize him right away. It's like, oh, that's Keith David. And he's brought back in, and then he fights Grodd one-on-one. So you got two super apes fighting one-on-one. It was just all around. It was just a great mid-season episode that really wasn't a middle season, wasn't anything special. It was just, we're going to do a Planet of the Apes style two episodes here.
So first off, you had me at Keith David, because Keith David is like, I mean, he's been in tons of movies. He's, you know, his voice as well as just plain acting, but he's always going to be my Goliath. Disney Gargoyles, Disney. I've been saying it ever since we got started. Please, please, please make a live action Gargoyles movie.
We have something in Hype Train coming later that Disney's bringing something back that a lot of people ask for, so we'll get to that one later.
Yes, that was we will. Exciting
to see that. And then just real quick, so there's me and my wife, right after the Oscars, we didn't watch the Oscars, but the Oscars were finishing up. We turned on Netflix. She goes, I want to watch a documentary. And the first thing that popped up was White Helmets, which is Netflix's Oscar-winning short-form documentary. And if you haven't seen it, it's 40 minutes long, and these guys are heroes. These are the search and rescue teams in Syria that go after each bomb attack. And they're getting hit by ISIS. They're getting hit by Russia. And all these guys do is they wear the white hats. They're the search and rescue team. And they have GoPro cameras they put on them to follow them through it. They interview them. 40 minutes. If you don't cry, you're not human. This show documentary is fantastic. I highly recommend just watching it. You're going to learn a lot and get a lot out of it, I think. But enough with that. That was a good documentary, but Walking Dead, guys.
No,
yes! Hey! Walking Dead this week. Okay, first off, yes, hashtag Cajun called it. we did go back in time, and so we are getting the more fuller story.
Yep.
Definitely got Negan back, but it was more on the side characters that we got to experience a little bit more, and we learned more about Dwight.
But yeah, you're right. The side character, like Eugene and Dwight, really got to show a lot in this episode. And like last episode, Jerry got that personality, but I don't know if there's a more fleshed out character than Eugene. That character is fantastic.
I was going to say, he's playing the long con right now. That's what Eugene's doing.
Exactly.
He's saying, like, exactly. He spit out faster than Negan could ask him, I am Negan. And I'm like, dude, so you're playing the con right now. I get it. And people will do whatever the hell you say right now because you can produce the bullets, which is what I said last week. You produce the bullets, people will listen. And Negan, who would have just bashed him in the head for no reason, he's a smarty pants. So smarty pants is going to stay around for a while.
Well, yeah, I mean, come on now. He's, you know, because he calls himself a doctor. Now, the thing is, though, even though we know that he lied about the stuff and he's jumping right back into his story, with everything that he knows, because he's just so book smart, it makes you start to question yourself. It's like, hey, did he lie about that in the past? Or it's like I don't know, because he knows all this stuff.
Why is he not...
Cajun.
So I'm sorry. Go ahead, Cajun.
Sorry, no problem. But yeah, he quickly saw, like, his way to survive is his words. He saw that with Abraham. He's doing that right now. And they are positioning him, like, this episode positioned him as the polar opposite of Daryl under Negan. Like, everything Daryl did, Eugene, is the exact opposite. Now, my question is, at the end of this, though, will Eugene side with Negan and stay a coward or be a mole inside the Savior?
He's a mole. But... As a side note, why is he not banging Negan's wives? I have no clue why this is not happening. If you have this power right now, and you have three women that are basically falling all over you while you're... The best part is he's busy playing an Atari game, which is friggin' badass. he's playing war on Atari. And so, and then he was just like, eh, you guys are going to watch me. I'll pop some popcorn for you. And look what... And then he's making these death pills, which, by the way, he still has.
Yeah, he's not because of Lucille. Like, Negan gave him that threat. Like, don't, they're going to hang out with you, but don't sleep with them. And it was part test. And Eugene is smart enough to know all of these tests. He is ahead of Negan on all of these tests. And he's just like, nope, he's going to kill me if I do that, but I can do this, 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 this. And he's playing the game. And this is going to be an interesting push pull right now between Eugene and Negan. And basically, Eugene playing the game and Negan pushing the test.
Yeah, because, I mean, he showed that he knew how to make helium. He showed how to, I mean, so he can make bombs. He can make all this stuff. I mean, we haven't even talked about the fact of molten metal over walkers.
Which it didn't really show too much. I was hoping they would show a little more of that.
Yeah, but you know we're going to see more of it later. And so, but it's just, you know, he's Eugene's coming up. Dwight's kind of, you know, Eugene's rising and Dwight's falling at the moment.
But so. Dwight went into jerk mode, like, big time. He just basically got the doctor killed lying about his ex-wife's intent. He protected her, saying she was dead. And Negan will for sure find out Sherry's still alive at some point this season. That's almost a given. And that's going to be a big confrontation. But that's what we know from, like, the show and just expectations of it. But, I mean, he straight up got that doctor killed to protect Sherry. And when he could have just put it all on her and say she was dead, but I think he needed that extra twist to make Negan believe.
That guy got tossed into a flame. Holy hell!
Yes,
he got like it was like I can't use that. That's derogatory. But he got tossed. he got chucked. All right.
He's like, I'm not gonna burn you. I'm not gonna burn you. You just, you know, then he's like, no, I'm just gonna toss your whole body in there.
That was bad.
But the thing about that is by Dwight lying and having him the doc, because the doc lot, you know, that also put more stake in Eugene because now we got an extra doctor around. Boom. Now, not only did he make bullets, he's the doctor of the group, which
in this post-apocalyptic world, it's always good to have two doctors, but not Negan. Like,
no.
Negan's character, I think, showed me something this episode. It showed that he is so easily manipulated just by massaging his ego and giving him something epic to do. Just massage his ego and say, "We got Eugene. Molten metal on walkers. Oh, yeah. He's massaged up. He's ready to go." Eugene bending on his knee so fast and just saying whatever he needs to build Negan's ego up. Boom. Negan bends to Eugene's will at that point. Dwight lying to him about his super hot ex-wife, Sherry, and saying she's... And Negan just buys it because this makes more sense with the doctor thing, and he gets to do something awesome, kill the doctor, make a big scene, and say that nobody is safe. Not even the doctor is safe in my world, and to all of his people, in front of all his people. So you give Negan something epic to do, massage his ego, he's on it.
Yeah, he gets excited about that kind of stuff, which I think is kind of the one note character that he plays, because he's such a misogynist that anything that deals with his ego, women, cursing, whatever, it's pretty one note, and so you can really tell what he's going to do as an audience in any given situation almost.
Now, what a lot of us didn't see coming was a lot of the stuff that happened in the Taboo season finale.
Oh my god. That's the first thing. I just watched it right before we came up here to podcast, so it's really fresh in my mind. Like, I'm watching and My son came out and sat down for a little bit. He goes, "What is this?" I go, "It's the season finale of Taboo." He's like, "Ah!" And he runs away. He's only on episode one. So,
oh.
So he ran out of the room because he was watching. And he's just like, "This looks so good." I'm like, "It is." He goes, "What episode is it?" I go, "Season finale." And he just like.
Yeah. But what an amazing season finale. This is one of the best season finales I've seen in a long time.
It was fantastic. It's up there, one of the best ever.
It was hit every peak. It was fantastic.
Would you say that this season finale outplayed Westworld season finale? That's where, I mean, I know they're two totally different things. Okay, so yeah. So, but it's a close second, though. It's a close second.
Well, in terms of comparing those two, if it's a one and two, yeah. But, I mean, when I look at all the season finales I've ever seen in my life, like, it's top 10.
Yeah, oh, like, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's easily top 10 season finales, and I have some great ones in my top 10 list if I ever, like, wrote those down. But, yeah, it's... They did so much great in this one. And I did eight. And I'll even do this one. Cajun was right. Because what did I say he was going to ask Stuart Strange for?
A boat?
Two things he asked him for. But one thing I didn't know, and I was way wrong on, Cajun was wrong, was that all of the other stuff that was part of his plan, all the other stuff he had asked for, because it was so much deeper. Do not play James Kasaya Delaney in chess. The dude is 25 moves ahead of you. I don't care how many moves you're doing.
The one thing you were wrong about is you thought that he was going to ask for the deaths of the two witnesses.
Right.
That was the only part of it that you were wrong about with that.
Right.
So another question I got is, James gets a letter from his sister. You find out, you see her jump into the river. Now, do we honestly think that her character, do you think that was the end of her character? Is she dead and is she just going to appear in flashbacks and stuff? Or, Cajun, what are your thoughts on that?
Yes, because they had that moment in the chair where he was confident she wasn't dead because he couldn't talk to her. He basically revealed that he could talk to the dead, like wholeheartedly, like I can talk to the dead and not just dismiss some stuff, and I'd be able to talk to her. She's not dead. But then later in the episode, we see her actually die underwater, like finally die, and in his mind, and then he's able to communicate with her. And so to me, that's her character actually dying. And I also think it's the show and the writers moving away, and the actress too, Una Chaplin, probably moving away from the taboo relationship her and her brother had, that like, can I just finish this season and not have to do that ever again? So I think there's a lot of layers to that one.
Now, as for season two's main villain, do we think that the king's going to be the main villain season two?
No, I think you're going to have, there's going to be a push-pull between England trying to get him wherever he's at, Prince Regent getting him wherever he's at, and the crown getting wherever he's at, and I think Colonnade is going to play a major one. So they might not even make it to America most of next season. It might just be in the Azores for a bit and them trying to get there, with a lot of push pulls happening there, like with the threat of, we won't let you go any further if you don't do this type scenarios, and him having to move on. But yeah, I think that's more along the lines what it's going to be. But did anybody understand, like, what were you gonna say?
I was just gonna say about the, you know, a lot of key characters that we weren't necessarily expecting to not be, you know, not take a fall, passed on in this episode. But what I think that's doing is other characters that you've seen, you know, as just silent, you know, henchmen. I think it's what it is it's giving them an opportunity for next season to have more of a larger role. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Helga's other girl, like she's going to have some stuff. Yeah.
I mean, how badass was the bald guy that runs up? I mean, we're, you know, aside from Cajun and Gabble, you guys got hair, but you know,
no, we're kind of fans. Bald as crap. He just got his head shaved.
Oh, yeah. Do I not have video?
Nice.
Yeah, we do, but you need to share it.
Oh, I don't know how to do that. Skype is beyond me.
So
there's a little button at the bottom that shows like a camera. You click that.
Oh, well, since we're already derailed, yes, I went to a barber today and had them take a razor to my head, and there is no longer a single hair on top of my head.
Nice.
Awesome.
So, well played, sir.
You set Damien up for that one.
Yeah, I failed.
Damien with no chaos. Video too. I purposely not clicking that button. I see. It was all a big plan.
But when they're everybody's reloading, right? And then you got the tall bald guy just runs up with two grenades. I was like, yeah, and he's not even afraid. He throws the grenades and then he's just bam, bam, dropping those pistols, coming up with another one. He's going full pirate on them because that's what pirates are known for doing, is carrying multiple guns because you only get one shot. It was just so great. That scene just made me so happy.
And you're now the video is shared, and he is more bald than anything.
Oh, man.
Yeah, he is. God damn. That's like a...
I'm blind.
Make up for it down here.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
But check out he outbeards everybody here.
Outbeard, outbald, just like
yeah.
God, this guy,
perfect.
Yeah,
he wins the testosterone award.
But one thing I was trying to wrap my head around on this episode, just to kind of put it towards the end, was I tried to wrap my head around how complex of a plan Delaney had at the end. So the carryover from last week. He needed to talk to So Stewart, and in order to do that, he needed to endure the Tower of London and training and all this torture just to get the meeting. Then when he gets the meeting, he makes the deal to get a boat and the witnesses in exchange for eliminating both his own and Godfrey's testimony. That secures his release. And it's unspoken in the show, but he also gets the deal with Sir Stewart to kill the two people that he's gonna have Sir Stewart send and help him out. So, man, then Robert, his son, delivers all the letters to the League of the Damned, and all these letters are like pre-written. And I don't know if you noticed, but the actor who plays his son is Andy Serkis's real life son.
Oh, so, crazy! I didn't know that.
Yeah,
that's awesome. And, getting him in. You know,
getting him in young on a big show like this. Yeah. And then, so he gets the Chumley to make the bombs, Atticus to intercept the female witnesses and kill Pettifer, the first guy, brings Bo with him to tell Helga he didn't do it. Lorna meets her Carlsbad to get the mole and to get the codes. And then he does the thing with Dumbarton to expose him as the spy, and then Chichester stuff. And it just goes on and on. It's like five more things. His plan is so complex, but at the same time, it made enough sense that it wasn't like a Lex Luthor plot in Batman versus Superman where you're like, this is stupid. Like everything made sense along the way. That's like, if somebody really, really trusted everybody he was handing these letters to, it could actually execute properly and get done. So I'm really curious to see how they're going to really dig into his planning and intelligence later on. So yeah. I got excited trying to figure out that plan because I was like, this makes it so much better just making everything link like this, and tried to figure it all out. So that was cool. All right, gents. I've spent enough time yabbering about Taboo. Let's get on to Game On. All right, jumping into Game On, just quickly, anybody played Iron Baron Supremacy yet?
I've been meaning to. Haven't got into it yet. I want to.
Nope.
Yeah, I played about 10 games. The new meta is a much slower time to kill and very sidearm centric. So moving on to the next game.
I like it. So I've been dabbling in Halo Wars 2, both on PC and Xbox. It's one of my first Play Anywhere ones, so it's been a lot of fun. I have to say, though, I do find it easier for me to control with the controller. However, it is quicker to be able to snap between views. Like if you're playing like competitively, I could see the keyboard and mouse being the way to go. But oh my god, the storyline on this game, like it connects itself up to the current series. As soon as they started talking about Master Chief and they put you in that line, I'm like, yes, because the thing that's killed me is that the series basically has been like, what's a brute? You know, they don't, you know, all of a sudden it's like we had these two, yeah, we had these games where we fought brutes, and then all of a sudden it's like they just don't exist anymore. Yeah, there was a there was a coup in the Covenant, and you know, but we didn't eradicate the entire species. Well, they're using Halo Wars as a way to bring them back. And my God, if they make you hate these things right off the bat, like it's perfect. Like I can't like
do they kill John Wick's dog? Because that would make me hate him.
They let's just put it this way: they take out Spartans like it's nothing, and the Spartans that are involved in this, if you know the lore of Halo, if you follow any of the books and stuff, these aren't Spartans that are just no name people. These are people that, you know, they were Spartan 2, so they trained with John 117, and so you know of these characters, and then to see them just get destroyed so quickly, you're like, okay, this is like Arnold Schwarzenegger from his first movie, Hercules of the Brutes. Like, it's ridiculous. It's Hercules.
Did somebody say my name?
Oh, he's finally back.
Yeah. Hello, but how are you guys doing? It's been a long time since you say my name. I just got in from the chopper.
Hey, Schwarzenegger, how do you feel about Conan?
That's enough. That's enough.
Okay, okay. Conan. Sidetrack to Conan.
The building.
Sidetrack to Conan. We're not doing Conan. No Wangbar. Go. Next.
All right, yeah. So next up, we got Horizon Zero Dawn. I'm not playing it right now, but I know some other people here that are. Why don't you guys go? Hey, how about we go first with Dan Gabble Ratchet? What's up, man?
Yeah. Wow. I stayed kind of intentionally uninterested in this game before it was released because I was like, oh, Zelda's going to come out. I don't have time for another game, blah, blah, blah. So everybody in the world is like, oh, I pre-ordered it. I'm so excited. And I'm like, I'm ignoring it. And then eventually, like, the pre-release hype just got to a point where I was like, I can't ignore it. All right, fine. I'm looking. Wow, I should just go buy this game. And it was the right choice. It was the right choice. It's
for sure.
It's awesome.
It's amazing.
So I got a question with that. I know X-Ray has a PlayStation.
Yep.
Is X-Ray playing this?
So
okay.
He asked me earlier if I had gotten it, and I said yes, and he has not answered me. So okay. I don't know.
Because my question was, in your content lore, what would you think about looking into the lore of this new series? Because you know it's doing so well, it's going to get another one. What would you guys think about doing like a side thing? Like, you know, just, you know, it's something just to throw out there. And
yeah, we've,
I know people would listen to it.
We've talked a bunch of times about covering something else just for fun or just as like an occasional thing. Dropslash also has a PS4, but and I know he's playing it too.
There you go.
I haven't seen, like, there are definitely a lot of mysteries in this game, but from where I've gotten, they haven't answered any of the questions yet. Like, we know this is based on like a post-apocalyptic Earth, but
oh yeah,
you know,
way in the future.
But we don't know how. So far, I haven't seen anything that indicates like how it got there. It's just
no, okay. And it doesn't go anywhere from that too. If you listen to most of the media that talks about the basis of the story is not the main player in this game. It's the action. It's the big. If you play a lot of Far Cry, which this game has a lot of remnants to in a third-person version, Far Cry games, most of them tend to not have really great stories, but the action is really, really good, except if Far Cry 3, because Far Cry 3 is just a really good game. But this game doesn't have a lot of mystery when it comes to the game itself that isn't divulged in the 45 to 50 hours if you take it to platinum it. But you can pretty much get what you need to get out of the game.
I have a question about the... I'm the one that hasn't played the game, so the people that have played the game, how are humans running around with bows and arrows, but nature is robotic and like hyper-mechanic super machines?
Listen, there's rabbits, there's some squirrels, mm-hmm. and there's a few boars. So, I mean, there's still animals in there. It's,
raccoons.
Yeah, raccoons. Yeah,
turkeys.
There you go.
I killed a turkey.
Turkeys. Did
turkeys,
you?
Yeah, turkeys. And you can go fishing with your bow. Did you guys know that?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you can actually shoot the fish with your bow.
Some of the crafting stuff, you need like fish meat.
Yep.
When you watch all of the action in this game, it's surprising how much stealth is required in order to play this game.
I don't know. I feel like I am an invincible wilderness destroyer, and I only sneak so that I can get into, like... the game is literally on right in front of me right now.
Oh, he's pulling up.
Now we know why Gabble has been quiet this entire episode.
I just don't watch TV. I'm level 18.
Okay.
But it's like, I see a robot, and I'm like... I've been talking about switching my difficulty onto either hard or very hard, because it's like, oh, I can just kill that thing with a couple arrows. Why would I sneak around it?
Mm-hmm.
Or, oh,
early on in the game, though, the arrows are pretty crap. Like, they're, I mean, if you shoot from any distance whatsoever, those arrows don't do much.
Yeah.
But once you get up to about a level 10 and you start getting the hard, like, if you can get the harder formed arrows,
mm-hmm,
or the fire arrows, then things start to change. The ball game changes a little bit.
Yeah.
So, I got a question for you guys. Are any of the three of you guys familiar with a game called Too Human?
Oh, yeah. I loved that game.
Thank you. So did I.
Silicon Knights.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, that game's really actually hard to find nowadays because they're not allowed to sell it.
They were ordered by the court to find and destroy every copy.
Yes. I know. I still have a copy.
Like, what?
But... that game.
From my cold, dead hands.
That's right. Says the people who love the game.
It is. It's a good game. It was fun. Like, I was so in and ready to have a series, a trilogy of that. I mean, but that game is, like, to me, when I saw Horizon Zero Dawn, and I saw it at PAX West, it looks very, very similar. Like, I mean, granted, I didn't see goblins and things like that, but the wildlife, as in, like, the mystical beasts and stuff like that, mm-hmm, from Norse legend mythology, were perceived as robotic. And so now you got this. Is there like a, when you've been, you know, someone who's played Too Human, have you found anything that's been similar with that? Do you see the similarities between the two, or?
A little bit. Some of the aspects where it's like, from a certain perspective, the lines, so when something is so technologically advanced that you can't possibly understand it, it seems like magic. Some of those themes are definitely there. The combat's way different. I mean, this is basically you just destroy the world with a bow or some version of a bow, instead of like the melee combat combos that you were doing in Too Human. But yeah, definitely some of the technological stuff feels pretty similar to that.
So you're Lady Hawkeye in this, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, if you take a Far Cry with Tomb Raider with a little bit of Uncharted, then you have Horizon Zero Dawn.
And it definitely sounds like a winner. It's got me interested.
That's the pitch that they go into with. That's the pitch they go into to make this game. People are like, yeah, build that. And then they did it. And
I bought a console for it, just saying.
In the backstory, Guerrilla Games pitched this game 7 years ago because they were super excited about it. And they were like, listen, we can't make this. Like, physically, the consoles cannot do what you're asking for us to create.
Yeah.
And so 7 years later, they came back, well, you know, whatever, 6 years, 5 years, they pitched it again and said, hey, listen, we're on to the next gen. Can we make this game? And they were like, yeah, we can do this now. And so basically, when they're doing their first person PS4 exclusive at launch, it's based upon the fact that they're just trying to get to Horizon Zero Dawn. So this is what they've been, this is their passion project that's become, like, now the cornerstone for Guerrilla Games, which is great.
Very cool.
So the question is the, will it be Horizon Zero Dawn 2 or Horizon 1 Noon?
Horizon 1 Noon. I'll tell you what.
What is the naming convention here?
Horizon Afternoon Delight.
Afternoon Delight.
No, I haven't finished the game.
Oh, show tunes.
I haven't finished it. I don't even know what the title means. Like, 20 hours into the game and the name of the game doesn't seem to resonate anything at all about the game. So, yeah, I don't know.
I have a 4K HDR with the PS4 Pro right now. Nice. And this game is just beyond gorgeous yeah. on screen. It almost, when I played the opening 2 hour sequence, when you're playing as you're playing as a child. It's not a spoiler of Aloy. It spins so fast and the graphics are so crisp that you almost get dizzy a little bit because you're not, because it was like, oh, wait a minute. And so, because you can see everything so crisp. So it took a moment. And then when you get with, I mean, you got headphones on and then you have this crystal clear and then you hear the dinosaur, the robots for the first time, it's scary as hell because you could hear them around you. So like when you're kind of creeping initially with, because you have a crap bow, you can hear them behind you and they're making noises and it scares the crap out of you as you're like, because you're, I had her spinning around. I'm like, okay, where are they? Just because I need to know. And then what I think is really awesome too is the open world on this. The side missions just are organic. All of a sudden you're walking, you hear somebody go, so you're just going to leave me there and let me lay here? And you're like, well, yeah. You look around and you're like, oh, there's a guy on the ground. All right, I guess I'll go over and talk to him. I didn't even see you.
Well, hello.
Yeah. Well,
how can I help you?
And your mentor you're with, the first time that I'm with him, and he's like, throw the rock over here. I'm like, dude, where the F are you? I can't even see you hiding in the grass. I'm like, oh, I'm supposed to use her, you know, the machine piece that she has in her head so I can see. Oh, now I get it. But man, like, it's so well hidden that even when the AI hide, it's hard to find them. So just in general, really, really good game.
Yeah, R3 for the win. I mean, if you're not using that constantly, then you're missing a lot.
Right. So I think we're heading into an area that is a very sensitive subject, at least for myself and I know for Mr. Nash. Xbox introduces the new Game Pass for $9.99 a month. It gives you the ability to play backwards compatible games, regardless of whether they're 360 or older games for the Xbox One, and you have them for a month. It's almost like going to Blockbuster and renting a game for a month, because that's about the extended period of time that you get it. It runs month to month, so the games could change. They could run for 60, 90, 120 days. Just depends on whatever Xbox feels like. Very excluded to the amount of developers that are available to this specifically, because EA has their own access. So you know that EA is not going to involve any of their games. Although, if you listen to Unlock today, Phil Spencer stated pretty clearly that he would love to have EA. I'm sure he would, because that's a quarter of their catalog. So what are your thoughts? What are your thoughts about the fact that they're charging $9.99? What are your thoughts about games with gold? There's a lot of open-ended questions here.
So one thing that happened with this, and I don't have the stock quotes for Gamefly, but Gamefly plummeted, but another company plummeted. They announced this, and GameStop dropped 8%.
Yep.
And they're already having issues because of digital download and all that stuff. But the thing is if you're just someone that wants to play games, you just want to enjoy games, $9.99 and you get 100 different games to play, and they're going to be cross-play. Like, you know, it's, you're going to be able to play these on PC as well. I mean, that's a big deal. And
that cuts right into Gamefly's market. That's, yeah. It cuts right into a huge piece of it. That's like cutting right into Netflix's streaming content.
Yeah.
And saying the DVD side of Netflix is fine. Well, the DVD side of Netflix isn't nearly as strong as the streaming side of Netflix.
And if you break it down into what gamers think about, we're thinking about dollars and cents, right? So $120, and $120 here for 12 months is based upon the fact that they're not going to cut you a break if you pay for the full thing outright, which they probably will, which will knock it down to, I would guesstimate, $99 probably for 12 months. And so that's a game and a half. So for a game and a half, I can play unlimited amount of games for an entire year, and anything that GameStop has where I have to pay $20, $30, $40 for a used game, I can now get for less than $10 a month. I'm all in. Why would I not? Why would I? Because I can beat the game and be done with it in 30 days and move on to the next game, and then I'm not going to get their shit return on for $10 for a game I just spent $40 on because it was used, and now they're buying back a used game.
Now, on top of that, what you're also getting is say that you played a game and you just loved it, and then now the next month it's off. Because you're a subscriber, they give you a hefty discount on the title as well as all add-on content. So it allows you, they're saying, hey, you know, we know that you like this game. Don't go to GameStop and buy this. You will get it at the used price and get it with the discounted rate because you're a subscriber. Now you own it, and you can get all the add-on content at a discounted rate. GameStop's not going to give you that, so come with us. So they're putting more money back into their pockets. But this is where it's a double-edged sword. So if you're a person who doesn't have a metered internet connection, but if you're a Comcast provider or Comcast user, almost everybody has a 1 terabyte limit. Okay? That Comcast will tell you, "Oh, you don't have, you know, you don't come close." They tell everybody that. I go over that by at least half every month. So it's like, yeah, I'm like, really? You're going to tell me that I don't, you know, that I'm like, I'm sorry, you don't know my user base that I have in my household. You know, we got like 5 Xbox Ones going at any given time.
Somebody's Brandon. Playing with the Wing Bar way too much.
So, well, shit. But here's the problem with that is that every game that you get through this, okay, it's not where they stream it in the cloud there because they don't want it to have to deal with the latency issues that you're downloading this. So if you figure you download a game, there's 100 games, and just say you download a few of those, and they're 20, let's say they're between, if it's an Xbox One game, let's say 20 to 40 gigs, you know, because you get add-on content with this too to play. So there, it could be even more than that. If it's an Xbox 360 game, you're looking at like what, I don't know, 7 to like 13 gigs. So, but that all adds up. And it's like, so you play a game, you decide to, you know, or you have a kid that's like, I'm going to download and play this game today, then I'm going to take it off them and download it again tomorrow because I'm going to play some other game. It's that each of that counts into your data plan. Before you know it, Comcast is going to own people because of this service. So the main thing you got to do is you got to make sure that you know if you have a metered connection. I'm going to put out a PSA to people to, you know, launch it as an article. This is a good service, but for the love of God, check to make sure that it's not going to push you guys over because your internet company's not going to show you any leniency. They're looking at this and doing this. They're seeing dollar signs.
Yeah, just wait for the ISP that zero rates it. Be fine.
I think the game market that's going to thrive the most out of this for Xbox is their Xbox Play Anywhere crowd, because this is meant for PC players. These are the people who don't have an Xbox, who want to play backwards compatible games or want to play Xbox One games. And if they pay $10 a month and they own a PC that's a high enough rig that can play these games, they can pay that and be able to play whatever they want to without having to own an Xbox One while they're waiting for the Scorpio. Great way to involve that PC crowd and get them a taste of what Xbox involves, so that when the Scorpio comes out and they see the high-end rig, they're like, okay, I could see myself spending $500 or $400 in order to play current Xbox One or, you know, Scorpio games, as opposed to just playing the backwards part. So this, if Xbox is smart, if Microsoft's smart, when they run their whatever their pre-E3 thing is, and if you listen to Unlocked again today, Phil Spencer basically all but said, we are going to come out with something that's going to talk about the hardware prior to E3. He said, I can't say, but it would behoove us to come out with something that when we just speak about the games at E3. Okay, I get what you're saying. So they're going to come out with an event. It's probably going to be in, let's guess, May, probably late April, May, because they want to have enough lifespan so this talks for about 4 to 6 weeks prior to going into E3. And you're going to mention and just keep hammering home Xbox Play Anywhere, Xbox Play Anywhere, because that's where these PC players can play.
And next gen.
Yep.
Like, I think hitting that point where it's like games can and will be designed for this system that no other system can play.
And on...
Or just PC in that system, but not PlayStation.
On that cast, he was very, very clear. We realize that the Xbox S is going to be the major player of games. This is a niche market for the Scorpio. These are the hardcore of the hardcore that want to buy this. And so we know that. So when they say that any of these games are going to be backwards compatible or play anywhere, it's because they have to be. Because if they don't, they're going to cut out a quarter to half of their market.
Do we believe that, though? So, like, when he says it's for the hardcore, does he really mean that? Or is he saying that to stroke the egos of gamers that are thinking, oh, I'm hardcore, I want to buy that so I can be hardcore just like all those other hardcore guys?
Yeah.
You know what? It's both sides, you're just saying that.
Yeah, it's that.
When he talked about it, though, he mentioned price point because he said that he realizes that everybody doesn't have enough money to afford going up the next level. And so,
but you stroke a gamer's ego enough, they're gonna spend that extra for that price point. They're gonna spend $180 to get the little trinket that comes with the box. Yeah. Oh yeah. We are Negan. Stroke our ego. We'll bend to your will.
Here's $549.99. Give me that Scorpio.
They're talking PS3 launch prices now.
Well, I mean, that's probably about Xbox One launch prices.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. Dirty. Ooh, yeah, that was expensive.
But yeah, it's obviously going to be something that's going to be good, but it's definitely got its caveats that people need to be aware of prior to buying in.
Also consider that EA Access has 45 games on it, and some of them are really good, and it's only $30 a year.
Yeah. See, we also talked about Nintendo's yearly fee too, where you get a month. It's $24 for a year, and then each month they're going to have a different game on it that you can try, and then you can buy it as well. But that isn't going to go into effect to what, this October timeframe?
Now the question is, do you get a discount on that game if you choose to?
Oh, I doubt it.
Yeah,
I doubt it.
So,
yeah, Nintendo's not big on that. And that stuff. I couldn't even download Breath of the Wild yesterday. I was like, y'all don't even want me to pre-order this game digitally? Like, no. So I have to download like 13 gigabytes day of. Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Nintendo. We're going into the hype train.
All right, first up in the hype train, we have Aliens Covenant drops a new trailer, and you get to see the aliens, not one alien, multiple, in full glory. And I was really worried because, so, I'm a fan of Prometheus, I'm a fan of the Alien series, regardless of how weird the series got. Like, I have the quadrilogy, I can say I sat through all 48 hours of...
Wait, did you just say quad trilogy?
Yes, there is. So there's the Aliens...
Seven?
There is the Aliens quadrilogy.
The quad...
That means...
Trilogy.
Yeah, that means 12?
No, trilogy. No, 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 no.
Not quad four. Trilogy. Quadrilogy.
Quadrilogy.
Yes, sorry.
I thought it was... I was hearing a D, too.
The quad okay. Trilogy would be 12 movies.
12. Yeah,
no, quadrilogy. Yeah. So I have that, and there's 48 hours worth of footage. So you got all the director's cuts of the film, then the regular cut, and I've actually watched them side by side, going back, seeing what's added, what's not, and then all the specials and stuff on it. And so, I mean, I'm a super fan of them. I mean, I got Alien stuff all over.
You guys say I watch too much stuff.
Oh no! When it comes to Alien, I even like Alien versus Predator just because, even though they screwed with the timing of chest bursters and everything else, and I like tore that movie apart, I still liked it just because of the fact that I was getting something in the shared universe.
But yeah, but this trailer gave us a lot more though. It gave us a lot more of the action scenes. You got to see a little more of the set pieces and stuff like that. So made it feel like more of a whole movie. The teasers were very condensed.
One thing that's interesting about this is, so they started off as, it's a colony ship. So every group or every pairing on the ship is a couple. And when you land, you see that it is on the planet that Prometheus took place, but it's now growing fauna, and it's got flora and fauna.
It's got crops.
It has the flora. It does not have the fauna because they actually mentioned there's no birds, there's no sound, everything's silent. Yeah. And then that just kind of goes into it. And I love the fact that they did that. And it's just the actors look like they did, like it's going to be very convincing, but the alien looks amazing. Ridley Scott outdid himself. He really played homage to H.R. Geiger. And I'm really looking forward to seeing where this goes.
Yeah. Ridley Scott's been all over today. Ridley Scott did Taboo, what we just covered, and then Aliens Covenant's coming out, man. Yeah. So that comes out May 19th. So right around the corner. But coming out March 7th, Wildlands. We had some new information drop on Ghost Recon Wildlands today.
Yeah, so there's a bit that's going on with that. So Wildlands just announced, and I called it. I called it because the Division just dropped their patch 1.6 slash The Last Stand, and it's awesome. It's not as story driven as I thought it was going to be. It's very much we gave you a PvP mode, but it's balanced and it's fun. It is a lot of fun. Like I played a couple rounds and I've won every round, and so maybe that's why I like it. But but it is balanced. Like that's the thing that I'm liking. I'm liking the gear that's coming out of it. It really plays though to your team to work as two separate squads of four in order to cover the ground on it, but that's where you're getting at. So the reason why this little tidbit of information came out is Game Informer just talked about their plans for the future DLC. And one of the things that Wildlands is going to have is going to have the traditional 4v4. Reason why I feel that this was delayed from the game is because they don't want, Ubisoft doesn't want to, you know, cannibalize on itself. It wants to be able to get as much sales as they can from Last Stand. Because they want to say, hey, these, because both games, let's just put it this way, Ubisoft said after The Division, you know, there's before The Division and after The Division. You can definitely tell everything's been built on that same engine. So
it's very similar. It's very similar. It doesn't have the cover metrics, the cover mechanics of The Division. But yeah, definitely very similar in those two games. But we were talking about this last time that we thought that Ghost Recon Wildlands should just stay PvE and stick away from the PvP side of it because of how the Dark Zone fared in The Division. How do we think that that's going to play in Wildlands?
This is just going to be
success.
Yeah, because what it is, it's going to play like if you played Ghost Recon, Advanced Warfighter, any of those games, more like the Future Warfighter, which was the most recent Ghost Recon game. Brandon?
I was just going to say, I think it's a horrible idea. I think they're making a mistake by adding in PvP. Unless they do a strictly arena mode where there is no PvE aspect to the PvP, then
it's PvP. What the PvP aspect is exactly what it used to be. It's PvP arena mode. Like it's going to be four. You have a four squad versus another four squad. They may have put in computer terminals and things like that where you're trying to go it and get. But you're going to be basically, it's going to be, you're going to have your guns and you're going to trick your gun out to be best fit you versus someone else having their gun that they've tricked out to best fit them. And it's going to be you challenging each other and taking each other on to see which team's the best. If you played Future Warfighter, it's going to be just like that. And that is an extreme positive because that game was amazingly fun. And so you basically with this, you're getting the Ghost Recon story mode, which is co-op, and then you're getting the PvP mode. So you're getting the full thing, just a much larger, grander, or much larger scale.
I still think it's a bad idea.
Until you get it, until you're playing it with me and you find out you're badass at it, and then you'll be like, I love this. I can't believe I thought it was a bad idea.
It's gonna be a bad idea.
Well, I'll tell you something that's not a bad idea. Look what Disney's doing. They're bringing it back. Cajun talked about it a little bit earlier. DuckTales.
Ooh. Tales of daring battle. DuckTales. Ooh.
So
once again, if you want to book Cuban for your weddings, that's 1-800-CUBAN-DOES-WEDDINGS.
So
give me a karaoke machine and it's game on.
You got to have some alcohol. Yeah, alcohol needs to be a thing.
Yeah, alcohol involved. Yes, I won't hit any notes. Do not expect any notes hit.
Also, if you're curious about this, about seeing him sing, you can also look it up at michaelfassbinger.net. It's a thing.
Yeah. That's the that's
true
the
story.
Of me doing it. Yeah, michaelfassbinger.net, which is not even me. Damien's Michael Fassbinger, but since we own the domain anyway and needed something on there, Bloody Midget's video of me singing in Vegas got put up there. So, but back to DuckTales and not me singing. Derailed.
So DuckTales, like, first off, okay, so the animation's going to take me a little bit to get used to. I'm not a fan of the animation.
It's a different style. Right away.
But what I am a fan of is the cast. The cast, they couldn't have done better with the cast. It's amazing the people that they got involved with this. First thing I was looking for, though, is I was looking for Gizmo Duck, because if you give me Gizmo Duck, I know that there's a huge possibility that I'm going to see another DuckTales side story, which would be Darkwing Duck. So I'm looking for Gizmo Duck. Gizmo Duck shows up. I'm like, yep, it's happening.
Let's get dangerous.
That's perfect. That's perfect.
Yes. But yeah, like,
when there's trouble,
the cast,
you call DW.
The voice cast, have SNL, Bobby Moynihan, Beck Bennett, Kate Minucci from Garfunkel and Oates, Danny Pudi from Community, and then David Tennant, of all people, is gonna be Scrooge McDuck.
Yeah.
So, wow. Like, I would not have picked him to be a voice actor, or even to consider, like, not even consider, but like to be able to carry a Scrooge McDuck voice. But when I saw that was him, I was like, wow. It's like, all right, now I'm really curious, because he's been like the Broadchurch. He was just the villain in Jessica Jones, Doctor Who, a very 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 popular doctor on that one. So man, yeah. So what some gets to get some voice actors to really hit.
It's just that it's that Disney dollars, I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm. That's gonna be good. Summer of 2017. They have not dropped a release date on DuckTales yet, but it's gonna be summer 2017.
On Disney XD.
Disney XD, correct. That's where you can find it. But we got a second Aliens Covenant trailer. We also got a second Guardians of the Galaxy trailer, and it gave us a little more too. A new trailer with a lot of the plot divulged in this. How do you feel about getting that much plot in a trailer?
I actually didn't mind it as much. I mean, I just keep watching it, and now there's something that they did do that I did mind a little bit, because even though I don't know if it's because a leak of the action figure of this particular character showed up. But we see Kurt Russell as his human form, and a while back his form was shown on an action figure that leaked out, and I was kind of like, you know, I wanted to wait to see him in film, you know, or see him in the theater to see the big reveal of Star-Lord's dad. So having that at the end, it was still kind of, I feel like they're trying to go for the end of the Rogue One with Darth Vader breathing, you know, but it was kind of more like, maybe you could have waited.
I agree. Like that being such a big reveal and a tease from the last one, a lot of us that follow it know that Kurt Russell's playing his dad, that we know the casting's called because we read all that stuff. But most of the fans don't. We're in the minority there. And to reveal that in a trailer so early on, I think it's a misstep on them to reveal a big plot point like that. It's such a good job talking about their earlier trailers that they were just showing scenes from the first third or half of the movie, that they're not going to reveal all of the rest of the second act and the third act scenes. Now they're giving away other big plot points in it too. I really would like them to dial that back, because that was the issue I had with some other big movies last year, where just crazy trailers that gave away the entire plot, and you're like, okay, now I know everything. Batman v Superman being the number one, like, oh, by the way, surprise, here's our third act villain that we didn't tell anybody about. Yeah, I'd rather that in the theater, you son of a gun. that's two BVS digs in the same episode, so I still have scars.
But you know, one of the things with that though also is though is the humor, which I was glad to see, is they showed a lot with it, and the humor is definitely still there. We saw Star-Lord's looking over at Gamora, and he's like, wait, is that a rifle? It's like,
yeah, the tension between them. You can tell it's a sexual type tension.
Yeah, it's just like, he's like, is that a rifle? She's, we're both doing guns now. I see. Okay, and then later, because he does the pistols later, instead of a rifle, she's running with this thing that's like, it looks like something. Okay, it looks like Gabble. You'll like this. It looks like Cloud sword from Final Fantasy. That thing is so big that he's able to swing it around. This gun looks like the version of that, only it's like ridiculously large, and she's just running like it's nothing, and like Star-Lord just.
So James Gunn did say that basically knowing who Quill's father is isn't a spoiler. It's not an important detail in the movie. It's just a fact that is part of the emotional center of the movie from this very beginning all the way to the end. So it's not a Luke's father was Darth Vader kind of reveal.
Wait, what?
Spoilers for a 30-year-old movie.
That happens a lot on here. Hashtag... Yeah. Hashtag Optimus dies in the cartoons. Yes.
Oh, oh wow. Man.
Hang on. Too far.
Yeah, so I'm going to see this movie, and I'm going to love it no matter what. But I may, if they do a trailer 3 and it's even longer, or 4, keep going down the line, I may avoid, just because I really want the movie to tell me the story. Because at this point, like that was, for me, I did feel like this was a little too much plot. For them to level.
No.
For a show that was so big anyway, you don't need to give away that much.
So before we go into the next thing, I did want to touch on one other Marvel thing that launched, and we'll have to talk about hopefully next week, which would be Logan is out in the wild, and it is, people are clamoring, saying that it's not only is it an amazing superhero film, that it is one of the best films, that it is just superb, and that that majority of the cast deserves Oscars for it. That has me so excited.
This. Yeah, Chris was the one who first brought it up, and we've been saying this for weeks now. Yeah, the stage is set for a comic book movie to contend for a major award and
possibly best picture.
Had a feeling Logan was going to do it, and Logan's going to be in award season talks.
Yeah, it's at 93% on Rotten Tomatoes right now. That is awesome.
That's strong. Yeah. I could definitely see that from fans, but when critics get to there, yeah. fans can give 93% to an actual Rotten Tomato in some scenarios if you just get the right hype going for it.
So, which do you like better, Batman versus Superman or this Rotten Tomato? Rotten Tomato! Rotten Tomato, man!
93%. Look at this Rotten Tomato. I formed a quiz, so it gives me the answer I want. 2017, guys. That's how we do things. But going on to a show that I might be the only one who follows, but I really like it, is Bosch gets a season 3. On Amazon. I knew it was coming, but we got a release date of April 21st. And be sure to, if you haven't followed, it's a film noir detective show on Amazon, which is based off of the famous Michael Connelly books called Bosch. It has a great cast and does season-long investigations instead of the serialized ones, which I love in a detective show. And that comes back April 21st. So excited about that.
So next up, we got War Machine. Now, when this first got posted, when I first read it, I was like, Netflix is going to, this just threw it out of the ballpark. They're going to get a War Machine as its own character thing. That just dropped it out. I was all excited. And then I looked at it, I'm like, this isn't War Machine. That's not Don Cheadle. What is this? And then I'm like, wait,
that's,
Brad
Pitt has taken John Cheadle's role.
I'm like, whoa, people are going to have a problem with this. And then I'm like, wait, that's Brad Pitt. I'm like, on a Netflix film. I'm like, whoa, I'm like, they get an Oscar now, they get all this, but it's like, it's honestly, this has obviously been going for a while, but it's just Netflix really is hitting home hard as a contender for saying, hey, you know, you don't have to be in theaters to get an Oscar. We can produce content that is award worthy day in, day out, and we got the money to do it, and we're gonna show you.
A-listers, Brad Pitt and Tilda Swinton star in this movie. It's a satire about a general's rise and fall, which is loosely based on General Stanley McChrystal. And this thing comes out May 26th. The teaser trailer is already online. Check it out on YouTube if you haven't seen it. But it looked funny and good. Could definitely get some of the feelings of Brad Pitt's previous comedy roles, which I found to be pretty good in as well. So I'm excited about this one.
Will the sequel be called Iron Patriot?
Oh, please.
Oh, that was great.
Good call, sir. Well played.
And, tailing off of what we saw from 21 Jump Street, it seems like Chips is getting a buddy cop remake into a movie in the same style of 21 Jump Street, just with two smaller named comedic actors as the lead, and coming out in March too. Like, this one just kind of slipped by us on the whole March train. But not that I'm super excited about it though.
Oh,
it just,
I actually it looks am. Entertaining. Like it actually, to me, like, see, I really like these comedies, and I love Michael, Michael Pena.
Michael Pena is the,
yeah.
You love Michael, and what?
One of the leads.
And
Dax Shepard.
Yeah,
Dax Shepard plays the other.
And his Dax Shepard's wife is in it, and that's his Kristen. Is it
Kristen Bell? Bell.
Yeah.
Are they allowed to be in a movie without each other? Because every movie she's in, he's in, and every movie he's in, she's in. I don't even watch them all. I'm just like, I watch the trailer. I'm like, oh, that's the spouse in it as well too. Like, they must have some serious trust issues, because they're like, you can't go on set without me. And I'm not only going to be. Not only is she on set, she plays his wife in the movie too. So you don't get to kiss or do anything with anybody else. Yours is a lockdown.
Hey, they're a pretty cool couple though. They've walked out of award shows just to go play board games at a local bar. You know, so that's kind of cool. But no, I think that looks funny. Michael Pena is sitting there going, I can't. And it's like, oh, okay. Can you even ride with that? As soon as he sees yoga pants, it's like, as I saw it, I'm like, okay.
He loses it.
Like,
there's going to be some good jokes in it.
Yeah.
It looks funny.
It's like, I'm sorry. My wife walks around in yoga pants. I see them. I know. I understand his pain. It's like, I see that. I'm like, I feel the exact same way. So it's like, you know, I'm powerless to my wife in yoga pants. It's like, she wants something. She walks in with that. I'm like, okay. All right. I'll cook. It hasn't worked on getting me to fold clothes yet.
And it looks to be R-rated because it was red band. And I didn't check. Yeah, so we're gonna have some extreme scenes. They're playing right into that 21 Jump Street crowd, and I think it's gonna be good. But I'm gonna be so swamped at everything else in March. It might be a rental for me.
Yeah, I feel the same way with that. So trailing off of that, we're going back to another Netflix original film that when it came on at, oh, Brandon.
I just want to know if it, like, the new thing to do for movie stars is do Netflix. Because here lately, all the big stars, you know, from the last few years who haven't been too busy, everybody is doing Netflix.
Or HBO.
With these two are movies, and the one thing I haven't researched on is, and I'm pretty sure it might not be the case, but these could be movies purchased by Netflix, that these could be, like, Sundance-style movies that Brad Pitt did, and this new one that we're talking about now, Bright, Will Smith did, that could have been purchased by Netflix and maybe not produced from scratch.
Bright was supposedly produced from scratch, because if you remember, a while back he was in negotiations with Netflix to do a few films for him. Is when they were trying to go into the film production and stuff like that. They're like, we're going to start getting some power hitting actors. Now, when I first saw this, first thing I thought of, I'm like, oh my God, is this I Am Legend 2? That was
still
the
legend.
First thing I thought. Because there was
I'm still legend.
Because there was supposed to be a sequel to I Am Legend. And so I initially thought that. His character wasn't supposed to die. But
you see, I didn't think that at all. Like, I didn't think it was that, because when it started, to me, I thought it was just a cop drama. Because the trailer starts and it's him and his partner riding around in SUV and cop uniforms. I'm like, man, has a training day kind of feel, bad cop, something's going to happen. Then it takes a twist.
Yeah, you see, first off, you see elves, and I'm like, I'm like, okay. I'm like, Hellboy 2? And I'm like, what's going on? And mind you, I'm watching this, and I get a phone call from my family because they're like, oh, my God, did you see that? I'm like, I'm watching it, and I hung up. I'm like, I'll call you back later. So I'm watching it, and then you see an orc with a shotgun played by Joel Edgerton, and I mean, he's in full orc makeup, and it's amazing. And I'm like, oh, my God, fantasy mixed with reality. I'm like, this is my writing style. And then I get another phone call back, and they're like, no, don't hang up. You know, they stole your book. And I'm like, no, I don't care. I did. It's, you know, I changed the storyline on that.
They probably didn't read it.
Yeah, no, it's like, well, I never, it's just something I've been working on a long time. But yeah, so far, my original, so for those who don't know it, Damian Nash is actually the name of a character in a storyline that I've been.
Shut up, it is not. That is your name.
That is not.
That is your real name.
That is your real name.
Yeah, your real name is not Jeremy, it is Damian.
And so, that character started out.
The only other name is Jeremy Fassbender.
Shit. The character started out as a cop, or a detective, actually. And then it switched as to him being a writer, and it was being more of kind of playing more me. And so, but then seeing this, I was just like, oh my God, because I love Guillermo del Toro movies because he loves to blend reality with fantasy, and he does it so well that when, as soon as I saw this and I saw the other thing is practical effects. Thank you.
Yes.
From what I saw in the trailer, I didn't see any CG. Right. And that's huge to me because you can do, in this day and age, you can do so much with practical effects. You know, I love the Hobbit movies, but when the, you know, Manuel Bennett's character was a CGI orc eye versus a, you know,
real life one, yeah, from Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, it loses. You lose stuff from that. You know, I understand the dragon, you know, Benedict Cumberbatch, the dragon. I get that. But, practical effects, they're outstanding. And this looks like it's just, I'm all in on this. So what it happens, actually, on the premise of the storyline, is that something happens to where Will Smith has to team up with Joel Edgerton's orc character. And they're going after, but are anybody in here fans of Shadowrun? Either the old RPG or the less well received, although highly received in the esports genre, the Shadowrun FPS game.
I never played it.
So it bridges both reality and fantasy into that. Also similar to the Shannara Chronicles. So
okay,
but it looks good.
This looks good though. Yeah. Comes out in December 2017. Doesn't have a release date yet, but we know it's going to be December. So it's going to be later this year, and just straight on Netflix. I mean, this is going to be one of those movies that just
it's going to break
everybody
Netflix.
Can watch.
Brandon's going to get a lot of calls.
It's going to be a break Netflix. Yeah, it's going to have all the hype for it. Yeah, it's
Kim Kardashian.
It's going to be great. Yeah, exactly. His entire name. Why can't I watch Luke Cage? Why can't I watch Bright? You broke Netflix. Somebody broke Netflix. Don't worry, it's not you. So we gave a lot of hate to the DC Universe last couple of weeks. They finally gave us some good news that Matt Reeves, the Planet of the Apes director, is going to be directing the Batman, and he has full creative control. So can we finally not have any drama out of the DC Universe for a few weeks and just everything be good for a while, guys?
We'll see with the release of Wonder Woman.
Ooh.
Right. Ooh. Yep.
That's risky business right there, and I'm not talking Tom Cruise.
Yeah, the release of that one and the pre-critic score. I think they need to be concerned on that because if it comes back poor, I think because of everything else going on, you could definitely see people staying home, and Wonder Woman could underperform just from a pre-poor critic score.
Yeah, especially after Batman versus Superman, then Suicide Squad.
Although Suicide Squad did get an Oscar, even if it was for makeup, and I'll say they deserved it for makeup. But
no,
there are some crappy movies that get Oscars.
Yeah. Star Trek Beyond wasn't a great movie, but still had better makeup than Suicide.
Okay, yes, true. I would agree with that. I stand corrected.
and yeah, and Star Trek Beyond was even a better movie. It made my top 10 last year. And I surprisingly liked that movie. I was not expecting
it. I liked it.
That was basically the tale of two trailers for me when going back to the trailers that give away too much. Like, I found Batman versus Superman gave away too much, while Star Trek Beyond didn't give away enough. And I expected BVS to be better, but I like Star Trek Beyond significantly better than BVS. It was just a fun story. But maybe the next one they won't blow up the Enterprise. We'll see.
You mean we actually get to keep our ship?
No.
Oh, I don't know about that, man. What's going to happen? You know, Patrick Stewart stepped away from playing Charles Xavier anymore. So with that, you know, he's full on to be able to come into the universe playing Locutus the Borg. I mean,
oh, is they're going to jump timelines
when
do they not jump timelines? I mean, yeah, I mean, that's easy for them to do.
And that's how they reset this one.
Yeah, so. It's already jumping high but timelines.
I would
this
like
time
to see
anyway.
The continuing adventures of the Starship Enterprise, not the adventure Starship blows up. Let's see how we survive. Adventures of the crew.
Now, do you think even though we're segueing a little bit on this, now do you think that it's going to, because we know that Captain Kirk's father's coming back. So, do we think that there's going to be a power struggle for the next Enterprise?
I don't know what you just said, and I
immediately don't like it. What do you what?
What?
He said we know something that we don't know.
Yeah, we talked. We talked about it in the past. No. Yeah, we did. I did. Well, I did.
No.
Talked about it with other people.
No.
He's cheating on us with
on
another
that
podcast.
Other show.
No. This is where we mute him for the rest of the episode.
He's recording locally, though. No.
Oh, I can fix that in post. Don't worry.
Oh, God.
So you're saying that event that happened to Captain Kirk that was like the most important event of his formative life and creating that character, they're undoing?
It's supposed to be they're going to have them. He is coming. Yeah, basically, there's going to be a power struggle between, because he's always trying to live up to his father. His father is going to be back in the next film.
I mean, I guess
no.
They're just going to say he didn't die when he crashed his ship into that other ship?
No, it's some type of the same thing that happened
wormhole,
with Captain Kirk.
Time loop.
Which always happens in Star Trek. As long as we don't get trouble with Trebles, and, you know,
hey,
in
I this have next a Trebles on my good. Desk. It's okay. Trebles are good.
yeah, Trebles are good. Bringing back Kirk's dad. Bad. Like, there's a lot of plots out there.
I'd rather watch
why
Batman
mess
versus
with that
Superman.
One. Yeah. Yeah. Why mess with that plot? Yeah. But I mean, same thing. I thought I was going to hate Star Trek Beyond because I'm like, why is he riding a motorcycle? Why are they blowing up the Enterprise again? What is going on? This doesn't make sense. And then, yeah, they made it work.
And then the ultimate weapon is the Beastie Boys.
Exactly.
Yeah. Can't stand it. I do weddings.
Oh, it's a thing. Wedding Singer 2, starring
Abrams. What is he saying about Mark Hamill now?
Dude, he's already saying that in his role in The Last Jedi is an Oscar-worthy performance, and that if he doesn't get one, it would be a crime.
Wow. So it's going to be huge. So it's going to be Mark Hamill. So it's Luke Skywalker versus Wolverine. I'm pretty sure a lightsaber cuts through adamantium.
Correct. But then he just heals right back bone claws and puts
him
in his neck and he's dead.
But he'd never be able to get to him because
he just force
powers just to push him away.
You know, we've seen a little green guy hop all over the place that's damn near crippled. I'm sure Luke Skywalker can like run, you know, circles around him.
So I know we divulged to a geek fight, but this is actually an artistic fight of the acting prowess of two actors in these roles. Wouldn't it be absolutely geek crazy if two very like sci-fi based movies had actors going
best actors or best picture?
Oh my god, that would be phenomenal. That would be great, and that would be a great, just a huge nod to. As the industry is saying, hey, we recognize that these can be artistic as well.
So not seeing either one of them, which one would you pick to win? Without seeing either of the movies, because none of us have seen them yet.
My childhood, which ones would you have seen? My childhood, which one would you pick? Luke, but my fandom for Wolverine and how Hugh Jackman has really embodied that character really tilts towards Wolverine. It's hard. It's really hard.
I would say Hugh Jackman's as well, because I think this one's going to be more drama based. And if you have a show that's drama based, I think you have a better chance of winning best actor in a drama. When it's an action based role, for some reason, even if it's a great performance, a lot of times it gets lost.
But you got to understand, it is a drama. It's a drama about space orphans.
It's a space opera. Opera is serious art.
Yeah.
So, Chris, you've been quiet. Are you still awake? Who would you pick?
I'd have to see the movies to make a decision.
Without seeing the movies. Come on now.
How far did you make it? How far did you make it in Horizon Zero Dawn in the last segment? Are you a level up? Are you a level higher?
A level higher.
No. Gavin, no. What about you?
Wait, which question? Did I level up? No. But no.
You're close though, right?
I'm gonna say Logan. Yeah. I thought one of those was gonna win, which I don't think either one of them will even be nominated, regardless of what people say, because that's how the Academy works. I would say Logan. Right.
Yeah, it would definitely take a lot of studio push and a lot of fan push, and even then though. What are you saying, Bren?
I'm gonna say Luke just because you guys said Logan, so there you go.
Hey, you're taking the odds right now. If money gets put in, you have the odds faves.
Damn straight.
All right. We're done with the regular segments. Let's get into This Week in Geek or This Week in Netscape.
Hey, Doc, we better back up. We don't have enough road to get up to 88.
Roads? Well, we're going. We don't need roads.
All right. First up, February 25th, 2010, Apple announces that it has sold its 10 billionth song through its iTunes store.
Take that, Napster.
I think more Napster songs have been pirated than Apple will probably ever sell.
True.
Yeah. Just because they are there. Yeah, that probably not even real songs, half songs, crappy recordings. Yeah.
Napster, bad. Metallica, good.
Good. March 2nd, 1997, during a hearing on Microsoft's alleged antitrust activities, Bill Gates admits that Microsoft's contracts bar internet providers from promoting Netscape browser, and it puts Internet Explorer as a dominant web browser in the marketplace at the time, because everyone got a free copy with Windows. Fast forward to the future, and Internet Explorer is still a joke.
All right, so March 1st, 2008, America Online, You Got Mail, discontinues the Netscape web browser. Netscape was the first commercial web browser largely responsible for helping popularize the Internet in the mid-1990s. Netscape eventually was overtaken by Microsoft's Internet Explorer, as Microsoft included it for free with every copy of Windows, however the computer... Sorry, it looked like it was very similar to the one we just read.
It is.
I know, that's why I said this isn't This Week in Geek.
This is This Week in Netscape.
So, however, the computer code for Netscape lives on as a basis of the Mozilla Firefox browser project, which continues to gain popularity to this day. I know that on some of my stuff, I will use Mozilla at work if I can get it.
Oh, yeah. Mozilla and Chrome are like my...
Chrome!
Yeah, I prefer Chrome. That's my go-to. Gabble, what's your go-to?
Oh, definitely Chrome.
Good boy.
Chris, we know you like Safari, so it's all good.
Yes, I do.
Dude, okay, real quick.
Oh, man.
PlayStation 4 uses Safari as their default browser. It pissed me off.
Brandon now has an Apple product.
Yes. I'm so pissed off about it.
He hates Apple so much. He hates the fruit Apple because he hates the company Apple so much.
That's right. He can't even eat apple pie.
I don't know about that now. All right, so Chris, quit yawning. Tell us where we can find you. And now he's muted.
You can find me on all platforms, CWOWOVZZ.
And Damien.
You can find me on the Manning the Night Shift for Geekologist Radio's Twitter at minus the T for character restrictions. You can find me at Mr. Damien Nash on Twitter. Find me on queuedupmedia.com, geekologistradio.com, though we are rebuilding the site as we speak. And then pretty soon, I know I said it last episode, but hadn't had a chance to get into it. Going to start manning the queued up and building that up, the queued up media Twitter. So if you're a content creator out there and you're looking to have some people help represent and help just join up and share content, your content, all that stuff, check us out, queuedupmedia.com. Brandon?
And you can also find him manning the Wang Bar all night long.
Conan Exiles. I got an article. I got an article coming out. It's probably going to be on rectifygaming.com.
Yeah, that should be our goal next episode. There's going to be enough content next week that we should actually not say the word Conan Exiles or Wang.
I love Conan Exiles. It's an amazing game.
You love the Wang Bar. Don't even start.
You know, I finally got a server I don't have to make characters on, so.
Caucasian Saint, all one word, CaucasianSaint on Twitter, and in the Uprising Family Gaming Network, and being busy in the month of March, consuming all of this great media that's coming our way.
Right on. And that's, you can find me on Twitter at @BE_FOUTZ, and on behalf of us, thank you, Gabble, so much for joining us. Everybody, if you're listening to us and have any interest in Destiny at all, the game, check out Ghost Stories. Lots of cool information about the lore and the history of the game and all that jazzy stuff. And Gabble's a pretty cool guy. Yeah. Just don't tell X-Ray.
Thank you guys for having me.
Hashtag blame X-Ray.
Exactly.
Yeah, and another good site is BlameXray.com.
That is the best website.
That's right.
Also, there's dammitgabble.com, which is all my fault. So
I'm going to have to check that one out later.
I'll check that one out, too. Didn't know that one existed.
So this has been episode 28, and we are meowt.
Oh, shit. I didn't synchronize my stop.
Chris, do you have something to add to that?
No, I'm looking at my Twitter feed right now, and it says, "Rest in peace, lady in line who thought she was buying an NES classic and never heard of the Switch." She had been waiting for 3 hours. She'd been waiting for 3 hours.
Are you serious?
That's awesome. N64 Josh retweeted, "That is fan flippantastic."
Oh, sorry, lady. Oh.
Sorry. That's a side note, but that was really funny.
That's funny.
As a primarily Xbox gamer, though, it weirds me out every time I hit it, and that little sound actually plays from the controller.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Oh, it's weird. I said the same thing because, I didn't know that the PS4 controller had the speaker in it, and I'm sitting there just trying to mess around with it, trying to get used to it. I'm like, what the hell's going on here?
Am I breaking it?
Why is it
changing? Yeah, I was on the phone with you when you were doing that.
Yeah.
I'm like,
holy crap. It just made a noise. The controller did.
It just made a noise. That's awesome.
PS4 noob.
Yeah, but at least I have one. Oh. Shots fired.
So I think we're getting ready to go into that. Fuck.
Sorry. We're about to go into the...
Well, we're not going into that.
Sorry. My throat did something funny. I was waiting for Chris to jump up and start doing stuff, but I realized he's on a mission at the moment.
Yeah.
Looks like he's playing Mario Run.
No. No.
Those are some serious episodes.
This Switch is it popped up for 30 seconds and it was the blue and red shit. And I'm like, I'm not buying the blue and red one.
Fast forward to the future and Internet Explorer is still a joke.
Except for whatever reason, most companies use it.
Because it's there and it's default.
Mm-hmm. Basic bitches.
Yeah.
pumpkin spice latte now.